Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome Saturday. It's Saturday morning, at least it's Saturday morning here, Saturday evening in some places like in France. Australia, I believe, is a little later, maybe tomorrow, maybe Sunday already. So I want to welcome you to the call. Not the call, I always say the call, but I should be saying I'm welcoming you to the program. It's a program, it's a radio program, but I want to first throw out Wiser Living. Wiser Living, W-E-I-S-E-R, living.com. It's one word, wiserliving.com. Please go to wiserliving.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's packed with valuable information. Get that. In the upper right-hand corner of that page, the wiserliving.com page, or the website, you can click on Wiser Living TV. It's up in the upper right-hand corner. And if you click on that, it will take you to the YouTube page where you can subscribe and you'll get not only just get access to the current educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded, which you're probably going to see if you subscribe. There will be a new one uploaded this week. Please like us on Facebook. Please do that and subscribe as well. So go to wiserliving.com and get your free ebook as well. The free ebook as well. So wiserliving.com, subscribe. Wiser Living TV, subscribe. Wiser Living Radio, which you're on right now. You're not going to subscribe there. You're going to click on follow. And then, as always, facebook.com/wiserliving. Wiser Living. I really appreciate you guys doing that for me. Well, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune into the broadcast today. I know your time is valuable. I'm truly grateful. I am ecstatic. I'm happy. I'm just so wanting to get into this information today, and I'm grateful for your participation. So over the next 27 minutes, and I think about 42 seconds, I want to add to your wellness experience. So let's get right into it. You know, we have a lot of information to cover concerning our topic or our topics for today. I'd like to start our program today with a story. And it's a story about an oil that was in just about every household in America for decades. I mean, it's a story of an oil made with hydrogenated cottonseed oil. And this is the story of Crisco. Crisco began before the 1860s, actually. This product was introduced to the public in 1911. There's a lot of history I didn't want to go into because we have so much information to cover, but this was an era when wives stayed at home and they cooked with plenty of butter and lard. The challenge for Crisco then became, how could they convince the stay-at-home moms or the stay-at-home housewives about the merits of this imitation food? Imitation is the key word here, which wasn't, related to the public. You know, Procter & Gamble, the company that produced this product, introduced a ad campaign. And that ad campaign showed that this vegetable shortening was a healthier alternative to cooking with animal fat, and that it was more economical than butter. So with that one sentence, Procter & Gamble had turned on its two, or actually they didn't turn them on, but they had taken on their two closest competitors, lard and butter. Their next step was a stroke of genius. I mean, this was really incredible. They published and gave away a cookbook. Now, this is something if you're in business, you want to take that page and copy it. They gave away something. You know, and it's interesting, they gave away this cookbook, and this cookbook looked like most other cookbooks of that era, but there was a difference. There was one difference. All 615 recipes, everything from lobster bisque to pound cake, contained, you guessed it, Crisco. So the story of Crisco is recognized as a classic in the subtle art of persuasion. You know, Crisco was presented as healthier, more digestible, cleaner, more economical, more enlightened. Enlightened? What would that have to do with it? Enlightened and more modern than lard. You know, women who use Crisco were portrayed as good wives, good mothers, you know, with their homes free of strong cooking odors, and their children growing up with good character, because according to the advertising logic of Procter & Gamble, their advertising department, Crisco was easier to digest. They also presented it as kosher, a kosher product, making cooking easier, a product that behaved like butter but could be used with meat. It almost sounds like this Splenda stuff that was, you know, it looks like sugar, but it's not. It tastes like sugar, but it's not. You know, this Crisco was being added to everything. You know, what the people of that time didn't know was that there was partially hydrogenated oils in that product, and that these trans fatty acids were bad for them. I mean, I don't even think the scientists knew in the beginning. And when I say beginning, it probably within that first year of the development, they found out. But when problems began to appear in the public, you know, problems like increased heart disease, which they didn't have before, increased cancer, which they didn't have before, increased growth problems, which they didn't have before, learning disorders and infertility. When all this started happening in the public, Procter & Gamble worked behind the scenes to cover it up. Sound familiar? Other companies doing the same thing. Instead, they presented the government with their own research saying that animal fats caused heart disease. Almost 100 years later, when the truth about the dangers of trans fatty acids, foods like foods like Crisco came out, Procter & Gamble made a decision to put their flagship product up for sale. 100 years. So today, we know we should seek to eliminate two commodities, which, by the way, is not as easy as it sounds. I mean, I'm saying it, but it's kind of difficult. You can try it out today. The two things you want to eliminate are hydrogenated fats and high fructose corn syrup. Just those two. Just by doing that, you will begin to notice improvements in your overall health. But not all hydrogenated fats are made with cottonseed oil today. In fact, most are made with soybean oil. But by eliminating just the two commodities, cottonseed oil and soybean oil, you would have eliminated the majority of the displacing foods of modern commerce, just those two. Another problem, by the way, with cottonseed oil is that just before harvest, cottonseed plants are sprayed with a defoliating chemical to make the leaves fall off. And this is the same defoliating chemical that they use in Vietnam to do the same thing called Agent Orange. So when the leaves fall off, it's easier to pick and clean the cotton, which ends up where? In the finished product, which ends up where? In your home, which ends up where? In your body. So read the ingredients when buying your processed foods. If you're going to buy processed foods, start reading the ingredients. If it has cottonseed oil or soybean oil or canola oil, just put it back on the shelf and find an alternative. I know it may be difficult, but on the flip side of that, degenerative ailments. You know, at one time, I'm talking about the early 1900s, people ate real traditional foods and cooked from scratch. I mean, really cooking from scratch. You know, putting all the ingredients together and baking it or frying it or sauteing it or roasting it. They use a lot of butter. They use a lot of lard. They use a lot of whole milk. They didn't know that 2% milk or 1% milk even existed. I mean, the leading cause of death before 1900 was death in infancy, death from childbirth, death from infections, death from accidents. Today, the leading causes of death are heart disease and cancer. So following a traditional diet that was consumed before 1900, you would think would give you optimal health. This would be a diet of, you know, say seasonal fruits and vegetables, which you can get fruits and vegetables all during the year. You know, ancestral nutrition, basically. Your ancestral nutrition. You don't have to go, you know, the ancestor, what the books are saying, your own ancestral, just go back and line. Your grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. You know, take some time to do that. You know, this diet, fruits and vegetables, some grains, and there's a caveat there that, you know, I'll have to go into later, milk, butter, and cream, all the things that most of us stay away from, meat, seafood, eggs, all of these in the best form possible. And if you can digest them, it would be a major key to weight loss and many of the chronic disease states. Wow, try that on for size. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. I mean, the over-the-counter pharmacy. I'm not going to even get into a battle with the pharmaceuticals. It's just, you know, that's because people won't do right. So, you know, thank goodness there are pharmaceuticals in that case. But the subject of fat and oil is complicated, and it's filled with misconceptions. I mean, the waters are so muddy that trying to explain the myths and truths about fat can be long and complicated. And I was like pulling my hair out of my head, and this is, you know, metaphorically, trying to crunch everything in a 30-minute, you know, program. There is so much information and science involved because it's so important for the survival of the human body, fats are. That is, it can be overwhelming in most instances. But the bottom line is that information on fats and oils can be life-changing and life-saving. So let me give you 10 surprising facts about fats. I say surprising because when I share this with patients and people that I'm consulting with, it's hard for them sometimes to accept what I'm saying. And then those that even, you know, take it in, it's hard for them to implement these facts into their everyday lives. Number one, we need fat in our diet to live. I'm not going to really go into why, because I want you to really get these 10. We need fat in our diet to live. Fat does not make us fat. Repeat, fat does not make us fat. A low-fat diet is not healthy, period. I know the Pritikin diet came out, and everybody was like, oh, my goodness, Pritikin. But if you know, most people don't read. If they would have read through that, they would have seen that, I mean, he died. I mean, he even found out right before his untimely death from suicide, he found that he needed to add fat to his diet. You know, fat performs many essential functions in our body. I mean, I could spend hours just on that. You know, some dietary fats are better than others. Saturated fat is not the enemy. It is not the enemy. Saturated fat and cholesterol do not cause heart disease. Do not cause heart disease, period. Dietary fat is not the culprit of disease. Canola oil. Don't get up and go in your cabinets. Please don't do that. Don't look at your foods. Canola oil and other refined oils like vegetable oil are not healthy for you. Some of you would probably have to empty out your entire pantry as a result of this. Just that. Canola oil and refined oils like vegetable oils are not healthy for you. And finally, low cholesterol foods do not do your body good. Low cholesterol foods do not do your body good. Now, fats from animal and vegetable sources provide a concentrated source of energy in the human diet. It provides a building blocks for cell membranes, and you have a lot of cells, trillions of them. Every one of them needs fat if it's going to be a cell membrane, if it's going to be a house for everything that's in that cell. It's critical for hormones and hormone-like substances. Fats are, as a part of a meal, slow down the absorption so that we can go longer without feeling hungry. Your pancreas would be very happy if that was happening. So that means diabetes wouldn't be so prevalent. Fats act as carriers for important fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K. And you need vitamin K if you want your vitamin D to work. Dietary fats are needed for the conversion of carotene to vitamin A. You know, fats are needed for mineral absorption. Wow, that's very important. A lot of people have cramps, having problems with just the aches and pains. You need fats for your minerals to be absorbed from the vegetables that you're eating, the raw ones. And that's just a short list. You know, we've been told that there is a direct relationship between the amount of saturated fat and cholesterol in a diet and the incidence of coronary heart disease. But that research has some gaping flaws in it. I mean, huge flaws. The vegetable oil and food processing industries, who are the main beneficiaries of any research that has found fault with competing traditional foods, began promoting and funding research designed to promote the low-fat hypothesis. And I say that because many of you go to the internet and you're reading stuff, but it's you know, you see it, and they say it's coming from some science place. You automatically go, it's true. But you can't just do that. You have to read everything. That's why I went to school 20-plus years to learn what I'm going to tell you in 30 minutes. While it is true that researchers have induced heart disease in some animals by giving them extremely large doses of oxidized or rancid cholesterol, amounts 10 times that found in ordinary human diet, several population studies firmly contradict the cholesterol-heart disease connection. Now, a survey of 1,700 patients with hardening of the arteries, and this was conducted by the famous heart surgeon Michael DeBakey. I mean, he's like, when I used to read about him, I'm going, man, this guy's like super smart. You know, he found no relationship between the level of cholesterol in the blood and the incidence of atherosclerosis. Another survey of South Carolina, Carolinian adults, found no correlation of blood cholesterol levels with bad dietary habits such as the use of red meat, animal fats, fried foods, butter, eggs, whole milk, bacon, sausage, and cheese. So they ate all of that and didn't have a problem. A Medical Research Council survey showed that men eating butter ran half the risk of developing heart disease as those using margarine. Mother's breast milk provides a higher proportion of cholesterol than any other food. It also contains over 50% of the calories as fat, and much of it is saturated fat. And the rest of the milk is sweet, so it has these sugars that you have to have. Both cholesterol and saturated fats are essential for growth in babies and children, especially in the development of the brain. Yet, the American Heart Association recommends a low cholesterol, low-fat diet for children. You know, many of the commercial formulas on the market are low in saturated fats, and soy formulas are devoid of cholesterol. There's none at all. Another study linked low-fat diets with failure to thrive in children. Now, a study comparing Jewish people living in Yemen, whose diets contain fat solely of animal origin, to Yemenite Jews living in Israel, whose diets contain margarine and vegetable oils, revealed little heart disease or diabetes in the people eating a high-fat diet. Now, this study also noted that the Yemenite Jews consume no sugar, but in those in Israel consume sugar in amounts equaling 25 to 30% of their total carbohydrate intake, which obviously led to dysfunctions, degenerative diseases. A comparison of people in northern and southern India revealed a similar pattern. People in the northern part of India, they consume 17 times more animal fat but have an incidence of coronary heart disease 7 times lower than the people living in southern India. The Maasai and kindred tribes of Africa, they live largely on milk, blood, and beef. I mean, they are free, totally free from coronary heart disease, and they have excellent blood cholesterol levels. They exercise a lot because they walk, you know. It's not like they ride around Mercedes Benzes and Rolls Royces and BMWs and stuff like that. Now, Eskimos eat a lot of animal fats from fish and marine animals because it's so cold up there. But you know, when you look at their diet, they are free of disease and they're very hardy in that harsh, cold climate. An extensive study of diet and disease patterns in China found that the region in which the people consumed large amounts of whole milk had one half the rate of heart disease as several districts which only small amounts of animal products were consumed. You know, several Mediterranean societies have low rates of heart disease, even though fat, including highly saturated fat from lamb, sausage, and goat cheese, comprises up to 70% of their caloric intake. The inhabitants of Crete, for example, are known for their good health and longevity. You know, a study of Puerto Ricans revealed that although they consume large amounts of animal fat, they have a very low incidence of colon and breast cancer. Let me drink some water here. A study of the long-lived inhabitants of Soviet Georgia revealed that those who eat the most fatty meat live the longest. And Okinawa, where the average lifespan for women is 84 years average, the inhabitants eat generous amounts of pork and seafood and do all of their cooking with lard. But you will find that the relative good health of the Japanese, who have one of the longest lifespans of any nation in the world, is generally attributed to a low fat diet. That's what they say. And although the Japanese eat a few dairy fats, that the idea that their diet is low in fat is a myth, because their diet actually contains moderate amounts of animal fats from eggs, pork, chicken, beef, seafood, and organ meat. Just go to a restaurant, you'll see. Go to a store that you know, Asian store, you'll see what they're selling. And also with their fondness for shellfish and fish broth, you know, which is eaten on a daily basis, the Japanese probably consume more cholesterol than most Americans. So what they do not consume is a lot of vegetable oil. What they do not consume is a lot of flour. Although they do eat white rice, they do not eat processed food. You know, the lifespan of the Japanese has increased since World War II with an increase in animal fat and protein in their diet. You know, those who point to the Japanese statistics to promote the low-fat diet fail to mention that the Swiss live live almost as long as one of the fattest diets in the world. Tied for third in longevity are the Austrians and Greeks, both with high-fat diets. You know, another example would be the French. Anyone who has eaten their way across France has observed that unless, you know, someone in America that's French, this is from experience here. If you have eaten your way across France, you have observed, you definitely have observed that the French, their diet is loaded with saturated fat. It's loaded with saturated fat in the form of butter, eggs, cheese, liver, and rich pâtés and cream. They won't cook without cream. Yet the French have a lower rate of coronary heart disease than many of the Western countries. In the United States, 315 of every 100,000 middle-aged men die of heart attacks each year. In France, the rate is 145 per 100,000. In the Gascony region, where goose and duck liver is a staple of the diet, this rate is a low 80 per 100,000. That's where that phrase, the French paradox, that's where that phrase emerges. You know, the French do suffer from many degenerative diseases, though, but that's due to consuming large amounts of sugar and white flour in recent years and succumbing to the temptation of the processed food. Those probably living in concentrated cities. Because the people in the countryside are not doing that. Then there's the brown fat versus white fat question. I think Marie Christine is probably listening in, so she's probably jumping for joy right now. But then there's the brown fat and white fat question that my brother-in-law Frank over in Bordeaux kind of, you know, alluded to and asked me a question about that a couple of days ago. And this really shouldn't be a question at all. You know, everyone has brown fat and white fat, but unlike white fat, which stores calories, the mitochondria-packed brown fat cells burn energy, and it produces heat. It was once thought that in humans only babies had brown fat, but back in 2009, I believe, researchers stated that when they were looking into it, they found that that the internal structures of the body had some brown fat, and because of brown fat, the ability to burn, you know, because of brown fat's ability to burn calories, getting too far ahead of myself, scientists are now looking at ways to utilize it to fight obesity, but they're looking at ways to capitalize on it. Here's another one for you, Frank. You know, spending time in the cold makes your brown fat more active and could even cause you to grow new brown fat cells, according to a 2014 study conducted by the National Institutes of Health. You know, it helps to defend our body's body temperature in a comfortable manner. Brown fat helps babies who don't yet, you know, they don't have that ability to shiver yet to stay warm. In adults, when they're exposed to cold temperatures, brown fat may serve as the internal heating jacket to keep blood warm as it flows back from the heart and the brain, especially from the arms and the hands and the legs and the feet. Brown fat is found in the neck area, the shoulders, around the organs, all the organs basically, especially ones that produce hormones, as well as around the spine and the abdomen. Not only that, it's found in visceral brown fat, around your abdomen, which is the good fat that you want to be there, but you don't want the white fat that's accumulated from eating processed foods or eating a lot of grain, a lot of wheat. If you just stop eating wheat for 3 weeks, you'll see a drastic change in your gut. So visceral fat is found in the aorta, the common carotid artery, the cardiac veins, the mammary arteries, the mammary gland, the breast, the heart, the trachea, esophagus, adrenal glands, liver, spleen, between the anterior neck muscles, under the clavicle, the anterior abdominal wall, the kidneys, the pancreas. It's in a lot of places. So let me give you a list of bad fats. A list of bad fats. And the worst type of dietary fat is the kind known as trans fats, which you won't see that on a label when you buy something, but you will see hydrogenation, partially or full hydrogenation. So any partially hydrogenated oil like vegetable oils, canola oil, soybean oil, corn oil, safflower oil, cottonseed oil, any oils and fats heated at an extremely high temperature for long periods of time, like fast food places, should be avoided because they lead to cancer, heart disease, immune system dysfunction, sterility, learning disabilities, growth problems, and osteoporosis. Here are some of the nutrient-rich traditional fats that have nourished a healthy population for thousands of years. For cooking, it's butter, tallow, and suet from beef and lamb. Lard from pigs. Chicken, goose, and duck fat. Coconut, palm, and palm kernel oils. These are the good ones. And as you know, these are the ones most people don't have. But in this household, coconut oil, red palm oil, butter, we use a lot of that. There you go, guys. WiserLiving.com. You got to get there because there's so much information there. There's recipes there. There are just blogs, there's information, there's tons of information. So remember, let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. We'll see you next time. Same Wiser time, same Wiser channel. This is Dr. Bud Wiser, and we'll see you next time.